This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We've been sitting on this, man, stewing, thinking about it. It's a big day. It's a great day for Colorado State, in my opinion. And we'll open that up on the First Advantage text line. We'll get into it. But CSU going to hire Jim Mora as their next head football coach. This is awesome. And, hey, who better to get on and talk to about the hire and Jim Mora than former college teammate, former roommate of Jim's, I believe, former Washington quarterback, former Broncos quarterback, Hugh freaking Millen. Love this guy. Hugh, it's been too long, man. Thanks for being on with us today, my friend.
Yeah, I miss you, Brady. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, very excited for you. Excited for Jim. As you mentioned, the history that we have. He got married a few years ago, and I spoke at his wedding. Mm. So, you know, we're very close. But I think, you know, Clay had played at Colorado State. My youngest son, my oldest son, Cale, had played at Oregon and then transferred to UConn and played for Jim at UConn. And so he would kind of give me the goods on some of Jim's, methods of operation, and my oldest son Cale just lauded what he saw in numerous times. He would just say, "Oh my gosh, Jim is the best coach I've ever been around." Which would include Mario Cristobal at Oregon, and that. But then it also included me because I coached him. I go, "Wait a minute, be careful how you're tossing around those compliments about Jimmy." But no, it's a great day for Colorado State. It really is.
We're talking to Hugh Millen, doing radio, of course, in Seattle for KJR. I've had Hugh on the program a lot over the years, and you know, I think the world of your son, by the way. I still chat with him randomly once in a while, but obviously loved his time here. We did a radio show together. That was a lot of fun with Clay, so I loved that, and then being able to bring you on and talk. At that time, we talked Colorado State. We talked NFL stuff, too, so that was always a joy. But, man, I thought of you first because I'm going through everything, you know, Jim Mora's resume and, you know, UConn and what he did with UConn while he was there. And I stumbled on this, Hugh. He was on with you years ago. I'm sure he was on with you a lot, but back in 2006, do you remember that interview that got Jim kind of in some hot water when he was coaching for Atlanta?
Yeah, I think Arthur Blank at Atlanta didn't take it in the joking manner that it was delivered. And so, here was a guy that had been gotten votes for Coach of the Year, took the Falcons to the NFC Championship game, and things kind of ran awry with the Falcons with Michael Vick and the dogs and all. But it had success there. And then when he was the secondary coach for the Seahawks, did some almost unprecedented things, you know, with the secondary. They were phenomenal. And so he had opportunities at that time to coach the then Redskins or the Seahawks. He chose the Seahawks, and the University of Washington wanted him on two different occasions, but it was just bad timing. He remained loyal to the Seahawks, and he might be now I have to do the research on this, Brady. He might be the answer to this trivia question. He had one season with the Seahawks, but he improved on the win record from the year before. But then they had an opportunity for Pete Carroll and all. He might be the only coach in the NFL history to have 1 year after improving on the year before. But then he goes to UCLA, and there have been, since 1990, Now, that's not an insignificant period of time. There have been seven coaches at UCLA, which includes the last 6 years of Terry Donahue. And of those seven coaches, Jim has the highest win percentage of any coach at UCLA. And then you really you have to be in Storrs, Connecticut. And I played for the Patriots. For whatever reason, there is just not a culture of amateur football in the northeast part of this country. There just isn't. Not in high school, not in college. And that may be the hardest job, because my son was playing there and Jim was coaching. I went to a number of games. You know, they had a stadium 30 miles away from campus. Yeah, it's good for basketball, but the football there is just – it's an outhouse like you can't imagine. An outpost probably would be a more appropriate term. And for him to have done the job he did there, I was just astounded. So you're getting a guy with great credentials in his on his coaching resume.
Yeah, no question. And I want to ask you a bit about like what you know about his style too, because one of the things I've wanted to see, and this is just because of change, you know, I think sometimes as fans you see one coach do it a certain way and you kind of go, I want to go away from that. I sometimes get frustrated watching coaches with their faces in those giant playbooks, and then when like the game management gets out of control, I wonder if maybe diving in too much on the play calling keeps you from managing a football game. And to my understanding, Jim Mora, like, he hires good coordinators, has them, you know, call the play, or he calls the plays, he runs the show, but he's not necessarily like that coordinator calling plays on a regular basis. Am I right?
Well, he certainly has the capacity. He was a defensive coordinator for the 49ers prior to getting the Falcon job. And so he has the chops. If he, on occasion, he's had to step in, but he'll speak for himself. But I think that you know, he prefers to hire, as you said, good coordinators, let them do their job, you know, kind of be the management, the CEO, and make sure that the kids are, you know, certainly from a motivational standpoint, from an operational standpoint, that the team is checking all the boxes they need to check. And I think he has evolved into a coach that lets the coordinators do their job, and he empowers them. That makes them feel invested in the process. And I think he's had a real good cohesion. You know, his quarterback Fagnano this past year is one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country. And Jim knows what he wants from an offensive coordinator. They've been an outside zone running scheme, but a very multi-faceted and a multiple offense with an ability to make a lot of plays. And respond in pressure. So I think that at this stage in his career is where he feels comfortable and where he's had his success.
Yeah, and I love it. I got to tell you, Hugh. Nobody around here. No, this was not a name that was on anybody's radar. There were several names all over the place. Hell, we even heard Cordell Stewart's name, just that he was interested in the job, not that CSU was interested. But I'm hearing all over the place. Not once did we talk about Jim Mora. I don't know why. I don't know if maybe Rams fans didn't think that was even realistic here. But here we are. This was a very pleasant surprise to see from Mr. Thamel last night at about 10:30 Mountain Time.
Well, I don't think there's any question that had Jim waited, there would have been Power Four opportunities, plural. I mean, just if you have a copy of last Saturday's game day, where that section of the program where they come up and the big screen kind of rolls into those questions, and one of the questions was who's done an undercover Coach of the Year job. And Kirk Herbstreit, he didn't even hesitate. He goes, I'll tell you right now, Jim Mora at UConn. And I think in light of that, there would have been, as we said, multiple Power Four opportunities. But, you know, without giving away the confidence, I have a pretty regular communication with Jim. And he just saw all the opportunities. I mean, he's been hounding me about, hey, you know, with my experience with Clay at Colorado State, hey, you know, give me some background on that, or what do you think? And I think he sees with the new, you know, the new conference, the opportunity, the avenue, like, hey, we can go to the college football playoff at Colorado State. That's what he's saying to me and our close friends on these text groups. And again, I don't think I'm violating any confidence. He sees all of the opportunity there. And, you know, everything that you need is there, the facilities. You got a beautiful on-campus stadium. There's a culture in Colorado for decades that loves football. You know, for what it's worth, he's lived in Colorado as a middle school kid. And so he knows something about, you know, the lifestyle and what have you. And so I think that he just looked at that and said, hey, there's so many green lights. And I'm not talking about, you know, Colorado State because their colors are green, but just like green, let's, you know, all gas, no brakes. Let's do this thing. Like, there's a chance. He's talking CFP. You know, I won't forward you the text, but I could, and you'll see it right there, man. It's like, hey, like he's thinking big time, and he believes that everything that you need is there for him.
Man, I love hearing that too. And you know, Hugh, I'm going to bug you after the show. I'm going to be like, hey, let me see that text. And you can say no, but we're close enough now where you could trust me.
No, I could. Yeah, actually, I could. I mean, I'd ask him for permission, but you would love it. You would. The hairs on the back of your neck would go up. It's like,
oh man,
whoa, this guy. You know, we're not thinking. You know, it's not like a Mountain West mindset. Like, hey, maybe we can go. You know, beat some the fourth place team from the Pac-10 in the Alamo Bowl or whatever. You know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, he's thinking like, well, no. This is the path to the college football playoffs.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I think the model. Now, Jim hasn't said this, but I suspect he's kind of like thinking, wait a minute, you know, think of what Boise State at their heyday was, you know. But then there's even a better path based on the environment today. So I think he's dreaming big, and I know he has the work ethic to put it into place.
It's just so fascinating. Again, we're talking to Hugh Millen. Again, just love catching up. We got to do this more often, man. I love having you on this show. You make it better. Jim Mora, though.
Always love our time. Yeah, you bet, Brady. Back at you.
We got to make it happen. I'll admit, like everybody on the list that we were talking about, you know, Colin Klein, big name Kubiak, there were a lot of names. And I'll be honest, every single name on the list, I kind of shrugged my shoulders and went, yeah, it could work, might not work. I don't know. They could find success and go somewhere else. Who knows? But when I see Jim Mora's name pop up, that was like 100% because a slam dunk. Because not only I watched him growing up, coaching the NFL, and then obviously seeing what he's done with UConn the last few years, this is a no-brainer. And I just went right to why for Jim, and you just outlined that, you know, because there's going to be other jobs available, but he looks at this as like the ultimate challenge. How to really leave a stamp on that legacy is if you're one of the coaches responsible for resurrecting the Pac-12. I mean, that's what we're talking here.
Yes. No, absolutely. And you know, him being a Westerner, middle school years in Colorado, high school years in the Seattle area, played for the University of Washington. I mean, he, you know, his father coached, you know, at Colorado. I know the Buffs are the enemy in many ways, but at least he's, you know, there's an awareness of what the potential is there, you know, in that region. And he's been successful at UCLA, not just at UConn, at UCLA. Let me say it again, of seven coaches at UCLA, the highest win percentage. So all of that, and you know, he's an extremely young 64. So he played in the Pac-12. There's no doubt he has pride about what the Pac-12 has been. Just think about this. For a 25-year period, the Pac-12, Pac-8, 10, and 12, you know, because it changed its iteration, but But Pac-8, 10 and 12 won 20 out of 25 Rose Bowls when Jim was, you know, a youngster, you know, going on into his mid to late 20s. That 25-year period, 80% of the time, and only 9 of those 25 years did the Pac-10 have the higher-ranked team going into the Rose Bowl. It was like, hey, come on in and take your annual beatdown. So Jim is aware of how Western football can dominate. He has a pride about what the conference has been. And so when he sees, hey, look at this emerging conference, we've got a path to the college football playoff. We know that Western football not only has the potential but has been totally dominant against the best, what are thought to be the best conferences in football. I think he's aware of all of the history and as such is aware of all of the potential.
You mentioned the age thing, Hugh. I've already had people saying, you know, he's gonna go to CSU. If he does turn it around, he's gonna be gone. It's a stepping stone. I don't view that. When you're in your 60s, I tend to look at that and say, this, if everything goes right, this might be the final stop. Is that fair to say?
Well, let's just talk about, he just turned 64 a week ago. Google, if you're really interested, a guy named Mark Pattison, who was a teammate and a roommate of ours at Washington as well. We shared the same house. He's a former NFL wide receiver, played at the Huskies. Not only has he summited Mount Everest, he has summited the tallest peaks in all 7 continents. That is one of Jim's very best friends, and they train together, you know, in the off season. And Jim keeps up with Mark is like a jackrabbit going up these mountains. They leave me in the dust. I cannot keep, and I'm the youngest one of the group. When I hike with those guys, I can barely see them 10 minutes into the hike. They just scream. So Jim trains with an elite mountaineer. And so that is as fit and spry of a 64-year-old as you will ever encounter. And you know, not long ago he sent a video of he and his dad lifting weights. His dad is 90, Jim Sr., You remember Jim Sr. playoffs?
Oh yeah,
Jim Sr. Right?
Yeah.
So Jim Sr. is in there, like, you know, giving Jim grief about hey, you need one more rep on that leg press, and you know, and so Jim is, that's part of his nature, that's part of his nurture, that's his environment, that's part of his drive, and so I think that, from an energy standpoint, from a fitness standpoint, this guy is, yes, 64, but going on 45. And so, yeah, I wouldn't worry about any of that. And he's, you know, going to be right where his feet are. And his feet are going to be in Fort Collins, and his eyes are going to be on the mission right ahead, and then the mission to get the Rams to the college football playoff.
So you're telling me I need to work out a little bit before I see him at the opening press conference. I need to look presentable.
If he invites you hiking,
yeah,
you better hit the gym.
Cardio. You're telling me cardio, man.
And you better and what the strongest Starbucks have to offer, you better slug a couple of those because he will dust you. Take it from somebody who's been in his rooster tail, and and he's 2 years older than me. So at any event, he'll blow your mind with his energy. And wait till game day when he's running the stadium steps, 2 steps at a time, every step in the stadium in the morning. You might reach 64. Just cross out the first number, the 6, and replace it with a 4.
Yeah, no,
you might. Yeah,
I love it, man. Hugh, thank you for doing this, man. And don't be a stranger. Let's keep this going, man. I want to bring you on. I love talking football with you, whether it's college football, because there's so much going on in college football.
Yep.
Your old team, one of your old teams, the Broncos, are looking pretty darn good. But I know the current team you're covering is looking pretty darn good too. Maybe we see those teams in the Super Bowl. Who knows? So there's a lot for us to chat about, my friend.
I love it. All right, Brady. Always great to be with you.
All right. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Go Rams.
Hugh Millen says, go Rams. Love it. Hugh Millen, of course, with KJR Radio in Seattle. Hugh was on with me a lot through the years, because his son, when his son was playing quarterback, I got to be honest, when I shot him a text, I hesitated because, you know, the way Clay kind of, Jay, you guys have heard the way I've outlined how Clay was kind of handled here at CSU. So I hesitated. I wondered if Hugh would be willing to come on and obviously have a positive conversation about CSU. But this is one of his, you just heard him. He spoke at his wedding. He spoke at Jim Mora's wedding. So who better to talk to about this guy than Hugh freaking Millen? Michael, you got to be through the moon right now, bro. You got a Husky coaching the Rams. How do you get Michael interested in Colorado State? Bring in a Husky. I think that's why John Weber made the hire.
It's not like I'm not interested in Colorado State. Like, for me, it's UNC, then Colorado State, then CU. Now that CU's no longer in the Pac-12. Now that Washington no longer plays CU, I can go back to rooting for CSU.
There you go, Mike. I got a lot of thoughts on this, and I know Go Pokes are coming at me because Tuesday, was it this Tuesday? Was it yesterday? Was I talking about a younger guy? Listen, man. There are ideas of a coach that you have when you're picturing the perfect coach, but that also, like, we weren't talking about Jim Mora. You know, if Sean Payton suddenly said he wants to quit the Broncos and go to CSU, then yeah, we're having that conversation. There are certain guys that I look at and go, that's a no-brainer. I don't care about his age. I don't care. Dude, did you even know, be honest, that UConn had a football team?
I did.
Did I? I don't. Do you know what conference they're in?
No. I didn't know that they had a football team until like 10 years ago.
Well, okay. They're not in a conference. They're an independent. They won one game before Jim Mora got there, and he turned it around.
Like overall?
Yeah. No, they won the season before.
Okay.
I don't know what they did. They were 1-11 in 2001. They were 2-10 in 2019. They were 1-11 in 2018. 3-9, 3-9, 6-7, 2-10. Jim Mora enters and takes that and immediately turns that thing around. They go 6-7. And then 3-9, then 9-4 last year, and then 9-3 this year. I don't know, Mike. I'd say that's pretty damn good.
You know what I'm sensing?
What are you sensing, bro?
I'm sensing we have another Ed Lamb.
What do you mean?
Well, I hear some parallels. I hear there was a lot of 1-11s and 3-9s. That was kind of the UNC Bears.
Yeah.
Then Ed Lamb has come
sure.
in.
Okay.
First couple years, not great, and...
Okay.
Getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you hope for. But then you say, like, if you have big wigs talking about Jim Mora, like under the radar coach of the year kind of status or kind of guy, saying there's gonna be Power Four jobs available, you ask the question, like, why CSU then? And Hugh says basically the challenge of coming here, not just resurrecting a program, but resurrecting a conference. Like, this is historic stuff, Mike. If a team from the Pac-12, and I know Boise State just recently was in, that was Mountain West, but if a team from the Pac-12 gets into the college football playoffs, that's historic. That conference was dead. We all thought it was dead. Big Hub, you got to be pumped about this. Eastside Chris texting in. Guys, I want your thoughts on this. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's a slam dunk hire. That's obvious for me. Eastside Chris says, Brady, I wonder if Hub has been sitting on this Atlanta former coach. CSU as a coach, CU as a promoter. Oh, okay. Also, I'm okay with the Broncos contract with Wattenberg. Okay, we'll get into Broncos too. Big Hub, how you feeling? Former Atlanta Falcons coach? Everything I've seen, too, like, he's totally good with... I had UConn people very upset, in a nice way, though. They were professional, messaging me last night and telling me, like, so I started asking, like, how is he with mobile quarterbacks? Is he like mobile? Well, Michael Vick, pretty mobile, right, Mike? Pretty mobile. He's into that. He's not a play caller. He's not a coordinator. I mean, he was a defensive coordinator in his background, but he's not... His nose isn't stuck in a play sheet. I was done with that. I'm ready to see something new. And that's where we are with Jim freaking Mora. So, very excited. Pumped about it. Did not see that on the bingo card. They had... John Weber and staff didn't tip their hand at all. Like, nobody knew about this. We're going to have Kevin Lytle on the show at 12:05. A lot to talk about. Let's talk about Jim Mora. His resume. He did live in Boulder. He lived in Boulder from the ages of 7 to 12 because his dad, another legend of the game, a character of the game, was a defensive backs coach or linebacker coach for CU. So Jim lived in Colorado for like 5 years. So he has, 7 to 12. Yeah, he remembers that. We're going to do our best to get him on ASAP. We got connections, Mike. We got the connections here on the whole show. I know we got to take a break. Let's talk about it coming up. I'm full of it here today. So we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. It's the day before Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for? John Weber. Suddenly CSU is really freaking interesting. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.